You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Psalm 139 is what we're looking at, but the wonderful thing is that if you've attended either the service already at 9 or you're going to the 11 o'clock, this is the psalm that's appointed for today, and I thought deliberately maybe that's a good thing to reflect on this psalm. Plus, it's just a favorite, not only of mine, but I think of many people. So I want to reflect a little bit together on this psalm. And what we're going to do is we're going to read it together responsively. I want to do it by the whole verse. I think that maybe is easier. Just want to throw this out so that I don't get a question asked later about the versification. If you're looking in your BCP, as opposed to the version I gave you, the verses line up slightly differently. That's not my fault either. I didn't make a mistake, but I'm following the Hebrew pattern of versification rather than the Latin Vulgate. A BCP actually uses the verse numbering from the Latin, but follows a translation from the Hebrew, just to be really confusing. Anyways, Psalm 139, it's a wonderful poem prayer. We often hear it, I think, at funerals. At least I've often heard it at funerals. I can't remember from my instructions for my funeral whether I've asked to include it or not, but it's a good one. And I think a lot of us know it well. But I also want to maybe reflect a little bit on the bit that never makes it into the funeral liturgy, and frankly, rarely makes it into the liturgy on Sundays. Sometimes parts get skipped over in the lectionary. All right. So with that, let me just pray for us, and then we will pray together through the psalm. Loving Father, grace us again with an attentiveness to your presence. You're always with us. You know us inside and out, when we rise up, when we lay down. If we traveled all the way to Moose Jaw or down south all the way to the tip of Antarctica, you are there. Lord, thank you for your abundant love for us. Lord, may your word speak to us afresh this day as we pray, reflect, learn, mark, and inwardly digest again your word. We ask your blessing in Christ's name, your Son, and in the power of your Spirit. Amen. So, responsively to me by the whole verse. And if you don't have a copy, close your eyes and pray it with us. So, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them!
I count them, but they are not
Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Amen. Just a few comments about the psalm, just structurally. Again, these are poems, and one of the amazing things I think about the Psalter and the psalms that are in them is just how well they stand up to translation. Often poetry doesn't. You try to translate German poetry into English, and sometimes it just loses its kind of oomph or whatever it is. But the Psalter actually holds up quite well, I think. I'm grateful for it. But this Psalter, this Psalm of David, it's ascribed to anyways, has four movements in it, so to speak. The first six verses is one movement where the psalmist is declaring the omniscience of God. God knows everything. God knows everything about you and me intimately. Declares that omniscience in the first six verses. And then in the next six verses from 7 to 12, it talks about God's omnipresence. God doesn't just know me. He's everywhere. I can't get away from him. And then the next six verses from 13 to 18 are this wonderful declarative praise about who God is and what God does in making us and knowing us. And then verse 19, huh? Did you hear it? Was that a bit of a jar to the ears? We don't often get those verses. You certainly won't hear them this morning at 9 or 11. They're rarely included in people's funerals either when they want Psalm 139. Although there's certain people, I think they should have included them because they were a little, maybe could be a little bit punchy. I've buried a few people like that. That last movement, you know, where it's, and I'll say this right now, I actually think that's where this psalm was driving. It's a lament, but it takes about 18 verses to get to where the psalmist probably... God, this is what I really want to talk about. Enemies. The enemies. And maybe we need to reflect a little bit about that. I don't have answers for these moments in the psalms, but I don't want to overlook them either. So I want to highlight that. But the other thing that I just want to point out, and I noticed I missed a couple actually, but in the handout that I gave you, I hope you were seeing this wonderful you, me, I, thou, this back and forth, this almost every single verse is almost this conversation between the psalmist and his God. It's almost there in every verse. I, you, me, you, my Lord, my God, you do this, you do that. It's just this wonderful interplay. And it's intimate. It's this intimate interplay that's going on between the psalmist and God. I highlighted it in verse 1 and then verse 23, where it opens with, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And then he brackets it with almost the same thing in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So just some interesting things. So it's got four movements. I think it's driving towards verse 19 all along, even though we want to skip over it. And it's kind of got this bracketing, this inclusio. But it's poetic. And even, as I said, even in English, we get these, they're called merisms, where you're using two things to describe the whole thing. and you get them over and over. When I lie down, when I get up, right? It's like everything, but it has these beautiful kind of combinations throughout the poem. So what about, how do I pray it? I'll tell you how I have and some of the things that have stood out to me in my prayers, and then maybe we'll have some reflections on how do you pray this? And do you, like a lot of the lectionaries, do you skip over a few of the verses? Or do you joyfully enter into the prayer there too? I'd like to hear that. But this psalm, the first thing I think about is the fact that I am directionally challenged as a person. What I mean by that is I get lost often. I was doing well there. It took me a couple years to figure out Moose Jaw, but I eventually did. And then I moved to Birmingham. And I don't know what direction north is here anymore. Unless I'm in the nave, then I know. Because I know the altar's east, and then I can work it out from there. But I don't know what direction anything is here anymore. East doesn't feel like east, and west doesn't feel like west. I know where the sun rises and sets. I get that. I'm just saying, the feeling is I feel lost, and I felt lost here. And I think about 90%, when I look on, it tells you your app, what your app is used, or what your phone is used for. About 90% of it is used for maps on my phone. I'm like lost. And then even then, it doesn't help. Richard and Lee know about this. I mean, the first time I went to your office, it took me to that back gate. For heaven's sake, I was 200 meters from the door, but it took me about 3 miles to get around to where I'm properly supposed to go in through. So even there, you can't even count it. I'm lost all the time. And I often get lost in prayer, is what I'm saying too. And if prayer is a country, it's often a mystery to me. It's, as my friend Pete Santucci says, it's an undiscovered country. And prayer can feel somewhat daunting to get into it. I mean, as I said, I'm grateful for the Psalms, because oftentimes when I begin prayer, it's like, well, what do I say? What do I do here? Who is this God I'm interacting with? What am I supposed to be praying about? And who am I anyways who prays? But before I utter a word, this psalm says, or even orientate myself to the directions and the compass, even before I do that, I have to deal with myself, and I deal with myself before God. And what I discover is as undiscovered and mysterious as prayer about God. That is, my own heart is dark and deep, and I don't get myself a lot of the time. As Pascal wrote, the heart has reasons reason knows nothing of. There is a vast inscape, is what Gerard Manley Hopkins calls about who we are. That the territory within us is as vast as sometimes the country outside of us. And prayer isn't just an opportunity to connect with God. It's an opportunity actually to connect with myself, to discover who I am and precisely who the God is. Who created me, made me to be. Psalm 139 is probably our best articulation of the unknown self in relation with the God who knows us completely. As I said, the psalm opens with that request. Search me and know me. And as is often the case in the psalm, we discover the psalmist's current state is where it lands there in verses 19, 20, 21, and 22, right? He's angry. He's furious, in fact, about enemies who deny and denigrate the Lord. These enemies mistreat God as if they could. Psalm 2, remember that one from last week? God just laughs at this, right? But this is how we feel, right? We're upset when God is mistreated. So how do we pray this prayer? And again, this is some suggestions that I have. Sometimes we just have to pray this prayer. We have enemies. We don't always get along with people. And sadly, some of the enemies can maybe even be fellow brothers and sisters. That's a different dynamic when when we disagree with others who are brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if that's what's going on here. This is an indignation about when people are denigrating the Lord. And I think it's appropriate to pray it with the psalmist. I think it's good not to skip over it. Right? But in this state of praying this way, I also love the beautiful refrain that comes right after it. You know, after he's saying, God, I hate your enemies, then it's also, but also search my heart. That is, if we can pray the Psalms, and I encourage you to try to do this, pray them with Jesus in mind, alongside Jesus. Jesus is praying these Psalms. And who are the enemies that Christ came to encounter, to combat? Well, it's the classic ones, I think. The world, the devil, right? Death. These are the enemies. I think we can actually have these enemies in mind when we pray this. Right? I mean, have you lost somebody dear to you from death? I'm aware that people who die in the Lord, and we're not to grieve as those who have no hope, but that can sting. And let us not deny that. Death is an enemy, and it's rightfully hated. Right? The world, rebellious to God, is an enemy. The evil one, who Paul says temporarily actually has control of this world, is an enemy. And we pray this with Jesus against those enemies. At least that's how I would encourage us praying this. But then, that last one. Many of you have probably been at baptisms, and a lot of people don't quite hear this, but there's a moment where you're asking the candidate or those who are speaking on behalf of the candidate to turn from. Do you turn? Do you turn from the world? Do you turn from the evil one? Do you turn from the desires of the flesh? It actually reflects the ancient rite of exorcism. Interestingly. Again, when you have cute little babies, you don't say, and we're going to do the exorcism now. You never know what's going to happen then, right? But those are the enemies. Those are the enemies. But the last one, the psalmist actually, I think, comes back to himself and says, and I'm one of yours too. And yet, with Paul, we say, even when I was your enemy, in Romans 5, even when I was an enemy, you loved me. Even when I was your enemy. So, again, back to self-reflection. Search me. Know my ways. Right? Help me. When I'm angry, when I'm sad, we can bring these things to the Lord. But we can also say, I'm an unknown, my own heart is unknown to me. I struggle with who I am. But I think it's important not to overlook where the psalmist actually was driving all along to verse 19, 20, 21, and 22. Of course, this kind of prayer isn't limited, of course, when we just feel anger. God's personal knowledge of each and every one of us is available in any situation we find ourselves in, because even those of us who think we've got good self-knowledge are often terribly blind to ourselves. We really are. We really are blind to often the things that are so obvious to others. Why am I angry? Why am I sad? Why can't I stick to my exercise routine? Why am I bothered by this person, but not about that person? Why can't I sleep at night when I'm so tired during the day? What is causing all of this tension in my neck? Why do I keep buying things I don't really need? Why do I keep procrastinating those few things that are important? Well, spiritual directors and therapists may help answer the mysteries of our own hearts that cause us to do things that otherwise don't make sense. But God knows our full stories. He knows our complexities, and he's able to lead us out of them from internal agitation and into the good way, the beautiful way, the true way. so we can walk that way with him forever. Augustine wrote in his Confessions, "Let me know thee, O Lord, who knowest me. Let me know thee as I am known by you." And in his prayer of illumination, he prays this, "Lord Jesus, let me know myself and know you. Since God knows me fully, the way to come to know myself is in conversation." It's in prayer. This is how we come to know ourselves, in prayer, and why we use these prayers. This is how I come to know who I am and how I come to know who God is. There's a sense that the greatest limit to my understanding of myself is my lack of knowing God. But similarly, lack of our own self-knowledge limits my understanding of God. Knowledge of self and knowledge of God, the psalmists say, go hand in hand. And so the most basic of Hebrew prayers, which you hear over and over in the Psalms, but last week, if you were here, you heard it in Isaiah 6, one of these most basic prayers. Here I am. Hinei. Here I am. Here I am again, Lord. Who am I? Help me figure this out. So not as only is God worthy to be known, but what I'm saying is sometimes we can get maybe so focused on the fact that I'm a sinner that we forget that God wants to know you still and love you. Boy, I find that I need to hear that. Maybe the Advent congregation is different from me in that way. Maybe you are fully known by God and understand yourself fully. I don't. I don't know myself, and I'm still getting to know God. But I know that both of those things go hand in hand. So, Margot, I don't know how you do this with children, I guess, is one of the prayer is, like, obviously, I mean, we love so much of this prayer. I'm in conversation with you just for a moment here. No, because you're thinking about how you do this with kids. And I think it's appropriate to teach them to pray this way. I mean, this is the prayers that have been given to us. God, search me. Help me. Help me to know who I am. And the fact that God knew me before I was even formed and in my mom's womb. And when parents have second children, I think that's a beautiful way to describe it to children who are watching their mother's belly swell. God knows who this person is already. Whew. Boy, if that doesn't just blow us away. God is interested. God knows us fully, even when we don't fully know ourselves. God is everywhere. There isn't a place that we can flee. And again, maybe this has never happened to you, but at least on one or two occasions, I've been so ashamed that I literally went outside in the freezing cold and thought, I just want to run away from God. I want to run away from God. God, don't look at me. And the psalmist tells me, he knows you already and loves you. And he knows the cries of your heart. He knows the enemies that you struggle with. The world, the devil, the flesh. He knows you. But I keep coming back to needing this self-knowledge and this prayer. Psalm 139. Next week, I'll want to do, I think I'm going to do Psalm 84. Don't hold me to that if I change my mind halfway through the week. But I thought you've heard this psalm over and over again. Hopefully, you're going to start praying it more regularly, I hope. If you happen to pray it in the kind of monthly rotation in the daily prayer, I think it's for the 29th day. I have certain days of the month that I know a psalm is coming. And by the time I get to the end of the month, I need to pray this psalm. I know that. In the same way that Psalm 37, I don't know if we'll get to that one, is for the seventh day of the month, the evening. Psalm 37 begins with, "Fret not." I tell you, by about the seventh of every month, I'm fretting about something. And I've started to call it the seventh day of the month, Fret Not Day. But maybe the 29th, of the month is Search Me, Know Me Day. Search me out, know me. So just a couple of days ago, we would have prayed that if you're praying the Book of Common Prayer, daily prayer. But you would have heard it if you were here at a funeral this week, and you'll certainly hear it today in prayer. But you won't hear verses 19 through 22. comments, insights yourself. Again, I'm in the foothills of prayer here with you, friends. I don't get it, but I know this is one of the mountains, Psalm 130 might. But yeah, comments. David.
This brought to mind Habakkuk when he says, "How long will you let the evil prosper?"
Yeah.
God basically says, "I'll deal with them later. I'm going to deal with you now."
Yeah, so yeah.
At the end where he's saying, "Search me and know me."
Yeah.
Same way. He knows us.
Yeah.
So David is saying, "Open my eyes."
Yes, to who I am.
Let me know how I am, as you said.
Yeah.
Your enemy.
Yeah. 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 Your loving enemy. Yeah. Yeah. Other thought. Anything jump out at you? Any word? Yes.
You have seen God like he is outside, like he's watching on us.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I apologize.
You have seen God like he is outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not. He is in our heart.
Yeah.
A fractal of God is a little light that we have in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Jesus put too much attention in the heart, because that's where we have good thoughts or bad thoughts.
Hmm.
And then from then, we feed our brain, and the brain is going to bring to our mouth.
Hmm.
And we can curse people or we can bless people.
Hmm.
And that is the reason. But God is in us, because God made our soul. So if God made our soul, we have our soul in our heart, also the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So God owns us completely, so he knows everything because he lives in us, in our heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, the other passage you've either heard already or you're going to hear from 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's another way of putting that too. Yeah. Any other words or insights? Yeah, yes.
In verse 5, you hem me in. I looked up the word hem just in the dictionary.
Yeah.
And it says to surround and possibly prevent from doing what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, yes. Sometimes, even we can get, I mean, there's times that we're just, but boy, it's not just 2-year-olds. I wish it didn't stop. It still continues. But God, sometimes those prayers, I don't know. I'm thinking of all the silly prayers that I prayed in my late teens and maybe early 20s. Oh, God, help me to marry. And it wasn't Darlene, I'll have to. And then realizing, oh, God, thank you for hemming me in there, or hemming her in, because that wouldn't have worked out well. You know, how many hundreds or thousands of prayers does God not answer in the way we want, because he hems us in? Yeah. I mean, Psalm 139 is probably, I was reading Tom Wright on this, and he's got a wonderful book on the Psalms as well. I'll be recommending it next week. But he actually told about how when he was at a deep, dark place in his life, in depression actually, it was Psalm 139 that helped him make the steps out of it, because he didn't know himself and understand why, what was going on in his life. But Psalm 139 was, in a sense, almost used his therapist. Must have been a Christian therapist, I'm assuming, helped him take the steps out of depression using Psalm 139, which I think is beautiful as well.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of footnotes in verses 5 and 6 that point to Job.
Yeah.
What's the conversation that David's having with Job?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm sorry, I didn't even spend time in that. I apologize.
No worries.
Yeah. I would just be guessing.
Okay.
Yeah.
almost reversed in Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. He's clinging to him. He's not going to let go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should have spent.
Do your homework.
Yeah, do my homework. work harder. This week was such a slow week. I went golfing. I actually did go golfing, and I felt really bad about that. Although I was golfing with my boss, and so that was a good thing. He referred to some of my golf shots as almost beautiful. That was almost a beautiful shot. Yeah. That should be like my trademark now, almost beautiful. Dean Pinter, almost beautiful. Sorry, I apologize. I didn't look that up. I mean, there's always going on in Scripture multiple connections all the time. I mean, that's why I think with the Psalter in general, we want to read it canonically. Each psalm stands on its own, but it's also, so many of them are used in conversation with other parts of Scripture. Psalm 110 probably strikes me as one of the ones that is most frequently quoted in the New Testament, as is Psalm 2. But, you know, there are these conversations that are constantly going on. And sometimes the superscripts give us a little bit of detail, which, again, isn't in our Book of Common Prayer. If we're only hearing that Sunday by Sunday in the Book of Common Prayer, we sometimes miss the superscripts. I have to admit, I wish they were there, because I actually think they're part of the text. They're actually part of the psalm, and they're often quite helpful. But I apologize, I didn't look that up. Yeah. Just a couple minutes. I've been trying to do this week by week, and recommending to you useful tools. And there are commentaries on the Psalms as well. There are lots of commentaries on the Psalm. St. Augustine has 3 volumes on the Psalm. So feel free. They're only $50 a piece. St. Augustine is getting still royalties on that, I guess. They're really good. Calvin has really good commentary on the Psalms as well. There's all kinds of wonderful commentators. But here's one that I turn to, that I just find myself going back to regularly. It's readable. It's for people like me who struggle with Hebrew. It doesn't kind of overextend us too much that way. But this is a really good scholar. James Mays in the Interpretation Series. A Bible commentary for teaching and preaching. It's really good. It's readable. It's affordable, which is helpful for guys like me. But this is, again, one of the commentaries I would recommend. I've recommended a few different books to you. Eugene Peterson, the first Sunday last week. Wenham's book this week. James Mays. I've been reading this for a number of years. I still find myself turning back to it, even though I do have Augustine's commentaries on the Psalms. This is a good one. Commend it to you. Very readable. I think he knows Jesus. This is important as well. Can I pray as we close today? Here we are, our dear Lord. We want to know you and also know ourselves better. Take us deeper into the vast and trackless wastes of our own souls and discover this land where you have taken up residence by your Spirit. May we now get lost there. But may we find you even there, for you have found us already. We ask this in Jesus and with the Comforter, your Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.